All right, cool. What are we doing this time?
Well, Gary, I'm sitting here. I've loaded up a Zelda randomizer run.
Oh, on YouTube or a ROM?
Oh, it's a ROM.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I figured what we could do is whatever is the first item that we get, we will kind of take that. We will put it into just like a search engine. Hit I'm feeling lucky and see if a video game pops up.
That sounds great.
Yeah,
I'm slowly now fearing making sure that we played the right game, the same game for this, or if this is going to be a book report episode, because I'm trying to see where you're going with this, but that's quite all right.
Okay.
Let's play. Let's go into the cave and see what the old man.
Yeah. All right. We're going to see this it's a slingshot.
Oh, okay. Here we go. Yeah.
So
thank God.
Let's just put that in there. Slingshot. I'm feeling lucky. The character, comic character, everybody's favorite little rascal. No, he wasn't one of the little rascals. That was another movie. Dennis the Menace, famously used a slingshot. Yeah. And there was a Dennis the Menace video game. The game computer is telling me
to terrorize an old man,
to ruin an old man's life.
Mm-hmm. Did you know that there's a British Dennis the Menace as well?
Okay. What's his name?
It's another show called Dennis the Menace and like Nasher. Dennis the Menace and Nasher.
Is it just a demon who follows Dennis the Menace around?
Basically, like he looks really gross.
Huh.
He's like this horrible little like Sawny Bean subhuman critter thing.
Oh, he looks kind of like the British Dennis the Menace looks kind of like Goku. Yeah.
It's Goku with like a monster is their version of Dennis the Menace.
Wow. What a crazy country that is.
It's like we have a kid with a slingshot who fights an old man.
Yeah.
They have a kid and a dog. What is this world?
Yeah, it's an Abyssinian wire-haired tripe hound. Oh, God, tripe hound?
Tripe hound.
No.
It's trained to go for the tripe. This is Gary Butterfield.
This is Cole Ross.
This is Abject Suffering, where the game doesn't matter and the topic spirals wildly, but you love it, don't you?
You love it. You can't go away.
Truffle pigs, snorp it up.
On this premium episode, we're talking about Dennis the Menace, which narrowly edged out that anime fighting game. This was put into the randomizer by Sam. Sam says, I just saw a picture of horrifying 16-bit Walter Matthau, and I knew what I had to do.
Yeah, this is your number one. This is way more Matthau than the On Golden Pond SNES game.
where you just go around just like trying to find anyone else in the world who uses the phrase sucking face.
Yeah. Yeah. What a weirdo that Matthau is. Cranky boy.
Mm. This is based on the 1994, 1993, something like that. Dennis the Menace movie starring Walter Matthau as Mr. Wilson. The best friend from Rushmore as Dennis. And then Christopher Lloyd as a criminal drifter named Switchblade Sam, who is one of the so there are people who are traumatized by Christopher Lloyd's Judge Doom in Who Framed Roger Rabbit. That was a little bit before my time for me to be traumatized by him. I was absolutely traumatized by Switchblade Sam. So Lloyd me too.
I certainly haven't seen this. This is also based on a cartoon.
Yes.
Oh, Dennis the Menace. I'm looking up Switchblade Sam right now.
Yeah. Get some.
Oh, you're a pretty filthy man.
And there are many points during the movie where he straight up threatens to kill Dennis with a knife. And Dennis doesn't understand what kind of.
What kind of knife?
it's a buck knife. It's like a Bowie knife kind of deal. He licks the blade.
Switchblade is a family name. It used to be Bowie Knife, but they changed it on Ellis Island.
Yeah. I mean, at the climax of the movie, Switchblade Sam kidnaps Dennis. And like they're on the lam. Dennis doesn't understand what's going on. He's not aware that he's being taken hostage, and they're cooking beans, you know, just over a fire. And Switchblade Sam is losing patience with him. So he ties Dennis up, but Dennis is like, no, you're doing it wrong. You don't know how to tie knots. And so Dennis ties him up, ties up Switchblade Sam, puts on handcuffs, throws the key, or like accidentally drops the key into the beans. They end up eating the key. So Switchblade Sam is all tied up.
Like Saw.
Yeah. And then, oh my gosh, there's just a sentence here. Dennis handcuffs him, loses the handcuff, and unintentionally bludgeons and torches him multiple times. And then Switchblade Sam, the ropes that he's tied up with get snagged by a passing train, and he gets yanked and dragged alongside. Whoa. It.
He gets road hauled?
Yeah.
He's nothing but a pelvis with a belt?
Yep. He's still alive. He gets arrested at the end of the movie. But he absolutely threatens to carve up Dennis.
Wow.
It's one of the scariest things.
I definitely want to hear. I've never seen the Dennis the Menace film.
Yeah.
But you mentioning beans unlocked something.
Okay.
For me. I've been thinking about this a lot lately. You know, in Charlie and the Chocolate Factory?
Yes. Yeah, you had so many Wonka thoughts lately. Do we need to start a show?
I have. And it's because I keep logging on to that dating site, Wonka Thoughts. And
spelled the other way.
Yeah. I was thinking about how the spoiled little rich girl, during her song, she's like, I want a feast. And her dad goes, okay. And she goes, I want a bean feast. What the fuck is that?
Like, you never had a bean feast? He goes,
oh, one of those. And it's just, I've been walking around my house just being like, I want some beans. Give me beans. As a little horrible rich girl. But really, the idea of a bean feast.
Yeah.
You know, like Switchblade Sam and Dennis were about to enjoy.
It was an impoverished country, Gary.
It was an impoverished country after the Blitzkrieg. If she had gotten a bean, she might have been a better little girl.
Maybe, yeah.
You know, bean deficiency caused a Veruca Salt.
Mm. Yeah. Mm. And then she gets dropped down a chute or some, yeah.
Oh, yeah. To get incinerated. Like, yep. It's like a 50-50 chance. It's a Schrodinger's cat kind of situation, because Wonka doesn't remember which day it is. And on certain days, she would get incinerated, and other days she just goes to wherever trash goes and drowns. I don't know. But yeah, I mean, Kid Kill Factory claims another victim.
It's not much better than what happens to her in the book. It's not goose eggs in the book. It's nuts. So they've got a big room full of squirrels that are cracking open the walnuts, because it's the best way to get out the full nuts. And I think one of them cracks open her head.
Yeah. Yeah, get a little brain in that Wonka bar.
Yeah.
And they're the Kid Kill Factory, man. Yeah.
Along with all that Augustus Gloop dander that got into the chocolate river.
Yeah. I was also thinking about who, like, Veruca Salt's the only kid who's genuinely bad.
Yeah.
In it. Like, it's not bad to be a little fat kid. It's not bad to watch TV. It's not bad to chew gum. Don't be stupid. But then Augustus Gloop, even though he didn't deserve to be executed, he did just, like, he's in this whole world of things you can eat. And I feel like it's a little bit on Wonka to explain, like, you can eat everything except for the river. He's walking around, like, eating flowers and taking bites out of beach balls and shit.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Augustus, like, was kind of in the right to assume, like, hey, it's free play.
He was participating in the spirit of the musical number.
Yes. You know, go Augustus. Like, I can't be mad at him. But Veruca Salt's a horrible little, like.
Oh, no. Spoiled. Monster. Spoiled.
Yeah. Yeah, but if she had gotten a bean feast,
So if many anybody problems.
Could puzzle out what the fuck that is, solve her Riddler riddle, then she might have become a good girl, you know?
Speaking of Riddler riddles, tell me real quick, should I watch that new Batman movie?
It's pretty good. Okay. I was going to make a joke about, we could almost do it for adaptation decay, because it's a real Arkham kind of thing. It's you should watch it. It's a dark, it's like a detective crime movie, mostly. Is good.
Okay. I'm not going to go to a theater to see it, but it, you know, it'll definitely, it'll be on HBO in like a month. So
yeah. Yeah. I liked it. I can say it's worth your time, and it is 3 hours long.
Okay. Well, that's, so, that is high praise.
Yeah. Pretty good. But anyway, back to Switchblade Sam and Dennis the Menace in general, which, have you ever watched an original episode of Dennis the Menace?
The 50s like show?
Black and white?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty dreadful.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's a tough watch.
It was the more transgressive Leave It to Beaver. It's just, oops, all Eddie Haskell's.
Yeah. Like what if there's a tiny, angry little Eddie Haskell, you know, killing the neighborhood animals and stuff, and comes upon an old man who's mostly defenseless.
Yeah. No, it's no good. I mean, like then the comic strip is terrible as well, but you know, 99% of newspaper comic strips are garbage.
Yeah. You know. Yeah. They can't all be Hagar the Horrible.
He hates women so much.
They can't all be the Wizard of Id.
Oh, he hates women even more.
Yeah. Oh, bitter old comics guys.
I think it's the same guy.
Taking it out on wives.
I think that is actually the same guy who hated women so much. He needed two genre comics to get all the jokes in about them.
What if Kathy was made by a comics guy who was just doing a parody? Like, I think Kathy is actually, you know, is written by a lady,
mm-hmm.
but that could also be an assassination of women.
Yeah, I think so.
You know?
Yeah.
Like they're always like coffee, chocolate, ack, ack, ack.
Ack, ack, ack. Yeah. The women are from Mars. Mars attacks. Am I right? Ack, 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 ack.
Yeah, Mars bars.
Mm.
Ack, 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 ack.
Yeah. But yeah, the piece of Dennis the Menace media that I have the most experience with was the movie, because it came out at the right time for me as a kid, kind of alongside a whole bunch of these. I mean, like kind of came out exactly at the same time as the Little Rascals movie, which I also watched, you know.
It's a weird time.
Yeah.
How was that?
I mean, I can't imagine it's good. I remember less about it than I do about Dennis the Menace, because like at the very least Dennis the Menace has a whole bunch of you know, I mean, it's a little kid torturing an old man. It's basically Saw but for kids.
Yeah. Or Home Alone. Yeah. Which is Saw for kids. I didn't realize that Natasha Lyonne played a character in the Dennis the Menace movie. She must have been very young at that point.
Let me see here. What was she? Oh yeah. No, oh she, yeah, she played the nerdy friend who nobody likes. Yes.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. The little crew of rascals.
Yes.
That Dennis the Menace hangs out with are neither little nor the.
Yes. Yeah. But no, the little rascals movie, not very good. You know, at the same time when like you had like other stuff like, you know, Fair that would have that was also like scrappy kids, you know, having fun together, your Sandlots and such.
It's very Sandlot. This was a time.
Yeah.
Like a less wholesome version of Angels in the Outfield.
Also Angels in the Outfield.
Also Christopher Lloyd.
Also Christopher Lloyd. Yeah. You know, oh, Angels. No, I was thinking of Rookie of the Year, which had either Gary Busey or Ray Liotta saying funky butt lovin'.
Yeah, there's that trailer from Rookie of the Year where he's like, did he say funky butt lover?
Yeah.
I had a friend who insisted that line was funny, like well into his 20s. And I was very surprised by that.
Yeah.
As a video game, the thing that I liked about this, it's of course a bad platformer.
Uh-huh.
You know, because that's what you do by ocean, is exactly how scary Mr. Wilson's house is if you start thinking about it.
So like many cats.
Unending hallway full of feral cats and like shelves and furniture placed at random zones. It's a little bit like a house is being unfurled and like a house is a big ball of string. And Mr. Wilson's house is that string unfurled.
you know, it's a little bit like, are we sure that this is Mr. Wilson's house and not Dennis going to that planet from the game Echo and it just recreating an endless palace version of his memories of the, of Mr. Wilson's house.
Yeah. It definitely has dream feeling to it, you know, and he kills so many of Mr. Wilson's cats.
Oh yeah.
It's... like earlier I made that throwaway line about Dennis the Menace torturing neighborhood animals. And that was a serial killer reference. But also, your primary enemy in this is cats. You kill a lot of cats.
So many of them. They're everywhere. I didn't get very far. I couldn't figure out how to get past the Mr. Wilson who charges you and picks you up and carries you off screen, which is one of the more menacing things.
Or Brown 2 is. Yeah. Mr. Wilson 2.
Butterscotch.
Yeah. Boy, get that boy poison spray boy.
But yeah, I couldn't figure out how to get past him, so I was like, I've seen enough. It just, you know, if you've played one ocean platformer from this era, you have played most, if not all, of them.
Yeah, weirdly, this got pretty good reviews.
I could see that. I could see that a little bit. Maybe like diminished expectations, plus the fact that like it's not a hideous looking game. You know, it kind of falls into the, you know, just, oh, I mean, the sprite is way too good, and the animation is just like a little bit too lush. Where people who were like, yes, graphics are important in this era, like that's what they decided to praise.
Yeah, they didn't do a horrible, and it's also not as bad as it could be.
Yeah.
For this kind of thing, like they did tons of licensed games. You know, these are the people who, this is what they are known for, like they're LGN of the 90s. Yeah. Basically, you know, so this is where you go to get a Darkman game or a Cool World game.
Yeah.
Or the Shadow game or Darkman game.
So many of them we've covered.
Yeah, like Hook or Hudson Hawk. Like this is Ocean. But they also did some things that are not bad. I recall like the Eek the Cat game, I remember not being so bad. Their version of Jurassic Park for Super Nintendo, I really love.
Oh yeah, yeah.
That game, I have a bizarre fascination with that. Apparently they did a Short Circuit game.
What?
That's fascinating. This might be my next vanity pick. It's a C64 game, but a Short Circuit video game.
How do you make how do you make a game out of Short Circuit?
You make a shitty platformer where you fight cats.
Yeah, I guess like, so. Good point. Yeah.
Yeah. you make Johnny Five just put a bunch of fur in his dreads. You can't come in here, Johnny Five. You have kitten tread.
Sorry, Johnny Five can't go any further. His gristle port is full. We need to clean out his gristle port.
Leroy, get your ass in gear. Go and clear it out.
Oh, man. Yeah.
But yeah, it's not as bad as it could be. Like if I had gotten stuck with this, I would never have rented it because I had no Dennis the Menace interest as a kid. But let's say like I was over at someone's house and they had this.
Yeah,
I could play this for a few hours and be okay.
Yeah, it's just it's a platformer. You're gonna play a platformer because that's what games are.
Yeah. I think that the Dennis the Menace. So as a kid, did you have a slingshot phase?
No, I had a BB gun phase.
Ooh.
Yeah. No, definitely went a little bit too far with it, but had a BB gun phase. Never shot at a person though.
Well, you've never seen a look in a man's eye as you, the life slowly drains from BB poisoning.
As they realize, that broke the skin. Yeah.
Yeah. I had a BB gun for a little while. And I don't remember what happened to it.
Yeah.
You know, so if it ends up in any crimes, those aren't my prints. But the I did have a slingshot phase because of seeing Bart, who was inspired by Dennis the Menace to have a slingshot.
Those are hard to use. Those, I mean, it depends. But like a real one with like the wrist brace and everything. Like,
yeah, we call those wrist rockets.
Oh, okay.
So we call those as kids.
Yeah.
And so a regular slingshot, which I would just kind of make. Those sucked.
Yeah.
And I couldn't do anything with them. But eventually I got my hands on one of those wrist rocket things. And that was a grand old time as a teen. Like we used to go out like target shooting at like street signs and shit with rocks. And it was real fun.
Yeah.
So that was the closest I ever came to being Gary the Menace.
Oh, yeah. No. In school, we did this so much that it became like a real problem. Taking rubber bands and making a slingshot where you took the straw from the milk, which is already pretty sharp, you cut a little slit in the flat end of the milk straw, and you use the slit, you know, you put the rubber band around your fingers and use that as a slingshot to shoot this incredibly sharp straw at people.
You know? Sure.
Yeah. It ended up being a kind of a problem.
Yeah. It was a circular blade, dude. That'll bleed.
What?
You know, like a syringe, like,
oh yeah,
you know, incision.
Yeah. I don't know if anybody, like, I don't remember anybody ever bleeding. It just hurt like a son of a, yeah.
Mm. Yeah. That's pretty, like, is that your most menace? I was trying to think of, like, what my most, as a kid, the closest I came to Gary the Menace.
No, I mean, that was just a thing that was in the air. I think to be a menace, it has to be something that really sticks out. Like, too many people were doing that in our middle school for that to be like an element of real menace.
And it was also an elective.
I wasn't that much of a menace. I don't know if I've ever told the story. But in fifth grade, it was the last year in this very old school building. It was our middle school. And so the windows were always open, and kind of all the guys in our classes got into this real, paper airplane phase, you know, making mm-hmm. paper airplanes and throwing them out the window. Right. Mm-hmm. And so I like, even before that, was really into making paper airplanes. I can make a real good paper airplane. And, you know, for my buddy wanted a good one, because this little glider that has like flaps on the end where you can kind of make it, you know, adjust it so it will go one way or the other. Right. So I'm making this thing, this blunt nose glider kind of deal. He takes it and throws it out the window. Okay. And it spirals. It turns so sharply that it comes back in the lower, we are on the third floor, comes back in the second floor window of the classroom below us and hits somebody. Okay.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Bank shot.
Yeah. And so my buddy who threw it, he got in trouble, right? And the punishment for him was to go out into the yard where all of those windows, you know, looked out, where all of these paper airplanes were landing, and pick up all the paper airplanes while the classes watched. Okay. Yeah. And I felt so guilty. I felt so terrible. I went to the principal or the teacher or whatever, said, "Hey, I made that. Like, I need to go out there and help him."
You wanted a little credit. Like, don't lie to me. You wanted a little bit like that. That's me too. I built that, you know, the energy that has, that is the exact same energy as when, something awful, when they did the Smash Mouth eat the eggs.
Okay.
Thing. And then out of nowhere, Guy Fieri is like, "And I will cook the eggs," and nobody prompted him or anything like that. He just wanted to be a little part of this in a nerd way.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like you're a video game from the perspective of the slave that Tomb Raider owns that builds her devices.
Yeah. Yeah. Although, like, well, I don't know how much credit.
Honestly, Q should also probably get tied up on the table. Because if it wasn't for Q, James Bond wouldn't even have made it into the Siberian base.
No, just so my one counter to that would be I would be owning up to shoddy craftsmanship, because that thing should have flown really far, like maybe out to the street. We were on the third fucking floor. Okay.
Yeah.
The fact that it hooked back in is a mark against my craftsmanship. And
I don't think it'd be a mark against the execution of the throw as well.
Maybe. I don't know. Possibly. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I have a distinct memory about this because it was kind of humiliating, but my only like, you know, I remember distinctly that my feeling was guilt. If he was going to get in trouble for throwing something that I made him, I was an accessory to it. You know, he's not going to be out there alone.
Yeah. Did you end up doing it? Did the principal?
Yeah. Yeah.
If I were the principal, I would have shrugged so hard at you, you would have flunked. I would have expelled you, not for making the airplane, but for confessing.
Oh, for being a little lame-o? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, no, you gotta go.
You can't be at the school anymore. We need to send you to a principal school
to take that seriously. Like, this is very grave, Mr. Ross. This is actually quite serious. I'll show you a little film called Schindler's List. Now, it may seem like Schindler didn't actually do anything.
Oh, God. It was the 90s, fact, after all.
He was instrumental in.
Yeah, so that was about as menacy as I got, and I repented immediately, and yeah.
Did the other kids all just, like, watch you guys pick up paper airplanes?
Uh-huh.
What was in it for them?
They were taken out there. They were taken out, like, to heighten the punishment.
Oh, they didn't watch from their windows. They had to like come out like the stockade.
They got like a nice they got like a nice day out on the square.
Yeah. What kind of fucking Texas judge school did you go to?
That's like, I'm telling you, man.
Fun punishments.
Yeah. Huh. I wasn't gonna let my buddy go out there, and he ended up kind of being a piece of shit. But like,
yeah, well, no shit. He threw planes, man. I can tell. It's one of the first warning signs.
But yeah, I wasn't gonna let him get out there alone. You know.
Yeah.
But yeah,
it would feel awkward to watch him.
Yeah.
You know, to be in the peanut gallery.
I don't remember if he ever thanked me for that.
You didn't do anything. Like you didn't remove his suffering at all.
He didn't have to pick up as many paper airplanes because I was out there doing it too.
He was picking up paper airplanes instead of doing school. Like, this is the most small ball thing that's ever been. Like, you didn't do anything. Of course he didn't thank you. If he thanked you, you should have wedged him. Like, this is a cycle of nerdery that never ends. Why would he thank you?
Yeah, no, I never thought about it that way. Everybody got time outside.
Yeah, it's great. This is the best thing to happen at school. It's like when a principal dies and you get the day off. It's great.
Oh man, the only other thing, same school, same principal. While we're just doing this stuff, we had a urinal pooper.
Okay.
And this wasn't Hero. Just oh, what's up?
Hero.
Yeah. Well, this wasn't just a urinal pooper. This was somebody who was pooping and then also smearing the shit on the walls.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty rough. It was pretty bad. They were writing stuff on there. Just every once in a while, we had a rogue pooper. Who would do that? And so, like, the principal was doing detective work, you know, to try and figure out, okay, like, which bathroom is this nearest? We know it happens during this lunch period or whatever. And I swear to God, Gary, at one point, just, you know, sometime during the day, principal comes down, you know, whispers into the teacher's ear, and brings all of the guys in the classroom out, and we stand against the wall in the hallway, and we have to hold our hands out. And this principal, this motherfucker, walks down the entire line, sniffing all of these 11-year-old boys' hands.
That's incredible.
It's like, okay.
The Dark Knight's on the case.
Then he goes down to the next classroom and does it with the next one. He's like, okay, you guys are clean, go back in.
That's incredible.
I know, right?
Like, it smells like soap, but it could be covering up something.
Oh man.
Oh, that's amazing. That is amazing.
So I got my hand snipped by a 50-year-old man.
Did they catch the guy?
They
and was this the method that caught him? Do you remember?
I can't remember if this was the method that caught him. In my head, there is somebody who I knew. It came out that it was like this one kid, but I can't remember if it was ever. I can't remember if that was actually the case or if that was just like what the scuttlebutt was. You know, yeah.
There was a kid who in my high school who the rumor was he jerked off in a Radio Shack, and he never lived that down.
Oh, yeah. No,
like he denied it, you know, the whole time. But everyone was like, no, you're the dude who jerked off in a Radio Shack.
Mm-hmm. No, that's the thing that you have to like that. You have to move if that kind of thing gets out. Same thing. We had a kid who the rumor was that he would jerk off in class. And he would never got that. Just like, you know, just people would just anytime he was around, like, oh, you know, girls, you go away from him. He's cranking it to you.
He's going to crank it. Like, how? I'm in fucking class.
Yeah.
You know,
there are mechanics involved here. Yeah.
Yeah. He just goes to the bathroom, comes to the urinal, and then writes on the walls.
Like a gentleman. Come on.
To see if it smells like, how's your father? You know, see if it smells like his fingers.
Yeah, or the guy at the Radio Shack who you know, plays a couple of rounds of demo rounds of Lemmings on the Tandy there, and then just cranks us right and puts the mouse on top of it so it smears around.
Goes into adapter corner sub B2, and then just takes care of business around the remote control cars and the batteries.
Yeah.
So I wasn't a popular kid in high school. Surprise people, I know. But I, as far as I know, I didn't have one of those. Like, this guy does this. Like, I was poor and my clothes weren't always clean because I lived in squalor.
Yep.
And got made fun of for that. But I sometimes wonder if I had, like, oh, man, that's the dude who, like, you know, goes in, breaks into the band room and farts in the tubas.
Oh, yeah.
Or something like that. Like, if I had one of those reputations, like a Radio Shack, you know, jerk-off guy or a urinal shitter.
Yeah. You know, the platitude would be to say, like, oh, you know, just it's torment. It is more torment not to know if anybody ever said that. No, like I you know, I knew who the smelly kid was. Right. Like,
we had
it was fucking brutal what that kid was put through. The things that people said about him, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Kids are mean. I'm also, though, I can't imagine feeling too much around it now.
Yeah.
You know, it's a long time ago and I have decided not to let that live in my head as a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was a smelly kid for a good reason. Like, everyone who called me the smelly kid should now feel bad about it. There's another kid who just smelled for no reason. Like, and that's like, he's a medical thing. No one should make, you know, but it wasn't like a tragic story. He just had a weird disease. One of those smelly kid diseases.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes a kid just stinks. Sometimes a person just stinks. Whatever.
I told this story on Everything to Guppy, but I'll tell it here because the audiences don't cross over and you haven't heard it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I've told this before. I did. So when I was in high school, you know, big guy.
Mm-hmm.
And the wrestling coach kept pressuring me to go out for wrestling.
Oh, yeah. I haven't heard this story, but I know this. I know this game. Because I had the same thing.
I hadn't done wide
shoulders and just like, oh, play football. It's like
be a goalie.
You have no understanding of how bad I am at that. So
yeah, I have no interest or anything, but I acquiesced to it.
Okay.
So for one day I did practice, which was just running through the halls of the school for a long time.
Yeah.
Not in the gym, not running laps, just running through the halls after hours. And then we would wrestle. And there was nobody, I was the biggest dude on the team who was not, there were bigger dudes, but they were like seniors, you know, because it was all grades and they were just like big, strong dudes. There's this guy, I've always talked about this guy named Roy, who instead of our school colors were orange and black, we had orange gym shirts. He wore a red shirt that he had sharpied stronger than you on the back instead of his name. So like, they weren't going to make me wrestle that guy, like, you know. Which I'm grateful for.
Right.
You know, when somebody in my grade, but the next guy who was there was smaller than me. And it was this guy named Adam, who was like a medically smelly kid. So that sucked. And then I also didn't have like a wrestling singlet or anything because I was just trying it out. So I was just wearing shorts and a t-shirt, like wearing my gym stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And as we're wrestling, my gym shorts are falling down, like, and not falling down like plumber falling down, but falling down like pornography falling down.
Okay.
You know, like, so without being too, this is very crass, there's a good chance at some point my asshole was seen.
Okay.
Not just my cheeks.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
The coach, Arch Rochow, who is the short little like plug of a man. I was wrestling with this kid and kept with my other hand trying to pull my pants up, and all the kids around us are laughing, and he's in my face, red faced, screaming, "Don't worry about your pants. Just pin him."
Hey, dude, my balls are out. So
yeah. Are you fucking kidding me? Like, I am so grateful that there were not cell phone cameras.
Yeah.
At this age, I would have been fucked. It's like hey, I would have become that kid.
Have you seen old butthole Butterfield?
Yeah, it would have become an Until Dawn situation. Like, Rami Malek would have come back a year later to avenge me. Like, it was not going to be good, man.
It was
just, it's very crystallized in my head. Just, don't worry about your pants, Butterfield. Hit him! Hit him!
Just a little plug of a man.
I was trying to find a picture of him because he quit the gym teacher game to become a realtor. So as I would walk around town, there'd be these billboards of just like my my nemesis, just like with his arms crossed next to a house.
This man who traumatized you.
Yeah. But I can't. I have not been able to find him, mostly because I can't remember how to spell his last name.
Oh yeah,
Rochelle. Yeah. You figure it out. but yeah, it was it's a real crystallized nightmare memory. And then I came back home. My mom was like, "How was that?" And I was like, "I'm never doing that again."
Yeah.
And she was disappointed because she wanted me to get into sports because I was a little fat kid and I needed to exercise more.
Right. Right. So, yeah. I mean, just the mix-ups that we had in gym class, they separate every single other, you know, pretty much every other thing by grade, right? You know, you're fresh, you know, freshman, general math and all that. Gym class, you've got freshmen mixed in with juniors, not really seniors, because seniors didn't have to take gym in my school. But like the physical difference between a junior and a freshman,
lot of puberty happens in those 2 years.
Yeah, like you're different species at that point. And I just have like this real this real distinct memory. We went to the multi-purpose room where all the wrestling was done. And played mat ball, and this is the first time I noticed it, but I realized that all of the older bad kids, you know, like the class clowns, you know, prankster, you know, kind of folks, you know, they hung together and they were all, you know, real into torturing the younger kids, right? But they had a war cry, all right.
Okay.
That they all did, like when they were on the same team or whatever, and it was like real distinct. And then I didn't realize what it was until I heard it in a song later. They would do this war cry that was just the chorus to Tarzan Boy.
Yay! Yeah.
So like, you know, like they would be, so like they're, you know, getting ready, like just a, you know, 3, 2, 1, go, doing this charge, and then
That's great.
I didn't realize what
that's,
it was.
That's really good. Those kids rock.
Those kids rule so much.
that is in the Hall of Fame of dudes rock stuff. Like, yeah. Just
these 17-year-old boys just wailing like Tarzan Boy, getting ready to pummel a 13-year-old.
Yeah, jungle life, it's far away from nowhere, and just like, crap out of you to the verses of that song.
Yeah, and then like just the third tier of that is if you just like listen, like read the lyrics to Tarzan Boy. It's an amazing song. Mm-hmm. It's also a song about being like really, really gay.
Oh yeah, you can 100% tell.
Yeah,
like I get when that broke, I loved that song. Uh-huh. As a teen.
Yeah.
And when it would break into the verses, it is the most, you know, stereotypical feminine man voice.
Yes.
That you can hear. Yeah.
And I only bring that up because these were the kind of kids who would be, who were real homophobic, you know, like,
yeah,
throwing F's around. Right. So
yeah. They did not realize
that is very funny in hindsight
what they were getting into.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Far away from nowhere.
Yeah.
I always associate that song with Walk the Dinosaur.
Oh yeah.
Which is not about being a gay man, but does have really bizarre verses and lyrics.
It's about nuclear apocalypse. Walk the Dinosaur is. Yeah.
Yeah. And there's like, he delivers everything in the same cadence. So there's a part like halfway through, he's just like, "I killed a dinosaur." And it's a very funny line to sing like that.
Oh man.
High school. Never again.
Yeah.
What should people do if they like this? They've already done it.
They have. Yeah. This is a premium episode. So go listen to the other premium stuff you have access to. There's plenty of it.
Yeah. And tell your friends.
Please do.
Yeah, thank you for being a patron.
Mm-hmm.
We appreciate you for doing so. And if you want to help further, the only thing you can really do is leave ratings, reviews, help your or tell your friends.
Yeah. No. So I just do the sign off. Until next time. Oh.